Well, I promised the pastor that I would give a 40-minute message in less time, because he is going to travel early in the morning. He has to get up at 4 o'clock to get down to the airport. And so I promised him that I would stop at 7:03. No matter where I am in this message. Okay? But thank you for coming out. Tonight we want to think a little bit about the Apostle John. He is called the Apostle of Love. But he and his brother, James and John, were called the Sons of Thunder. They had a bad temper. They had bad attitudes. One time John said to the Lord Jesus, can we call down fire from heaven on these Samaritans who were rejecting the Lord Jesus? But here now we find this aged apostle is on the island of Patmos off the coast of Ephesus in the Aegean Sea. He's the last of the apostles. It's kind of interesting that his brother was the first apostle to die in Acts chapter 12, and he was the first apostle martyred, and his brother John is the last to live till almost 100 years. But he's on this island of Patmos, and he is writing. He is writing the Gospel of John. He is writing three epistles, letters, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And he is writing the Apocalypse, the Revelation. And so here this is this dear aged brother who is on the island of Patmos. And he is writing a letter. And we are going to consider this evening the matter of fellowship. Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and how to maintain fellowship. We are going to notice, first of all, an invitation. The Apostle John and his fellow apostles give us an invitation. So in one sense, it's even a missionary invitation for people that he's writing to. And then he lists the conditions for maintaining fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And then he gives us one of the ideas. We have this word in chapter 2, advocate. He is our advocate, and he is our propitiation. Wow, what does that mean? It's very interesting that the Holy Spirit is not mentioned until we get to chapter 3. And I'm just going to read these verses about the Holy Spirit, because we're mainly going to consider chapter 1 and into chapter 2 of 1 John. 1 John. But here in the last verse in chapter 3, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. And then we have in 4:2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And then we have another spirit here in chapter 4 and verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And then we have also warnings here about the Spirit gives us discernment and the anointing from the Heavenly One. In chapter 5, verse 8, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. But to this evening, also, I want to mention that this morning, the messages of this morning set the scene for tonight. Our brother R.C. spoke on the Messiah. He spoke of Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Christ. And also he spoke about false messiahs. False messiahs. And John the Apostle is writing to us also about false teachers. False apostolos, false apostles, false missionaries, false pastors. And so he's talking also in this letter, even though it is a letter of love, even though it's a letter of joy, even though it's a letter of fellowship with God, yet he is warning his listeners, he is warning them, his audience, that there is falseness in the world. And it is amazing how there's nothing new under the sun, Solomon says. How that the heresies of the first century are the heresies present today. And they have to do with the person and the work of Christ. They have to do with the deity of Christ. They have to do with the humanity of Christ. 1 John tackles a strange heresy that claimed Jesus had been on earth only in spirit, not in body. But we have in our reading tonight, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. And so here, at the end of the first century, there were already heresies. There were already errors. There's two that kind of combined together. There was a group called the Docetism, which denied that Jesus came in the flesh, in humanity. The Gnosticism, early Gnosticism. Gnosis means knowledge. And these Gnostics were proud. They had intellectual, they had superior knowledge. But they denied the humanity of Christ. Matter was evil. Therefore, it was impossible that the divine, that the Messiah, should take on a body of flesh. It was impossible, possibly because matter was evil. And so you had these doctrines going already. And the Apostle John addressed these things in this letter also. Well, we want to consider really this fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Actually, we have many passages about the humanity of Christ. But in regard to the Holy Spirit, in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the last verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Now, what we have in 1 John is a word fellowship, that koinonia. Sometimes we hear of koinonia groups, fellowship groups. But it's interesting that the word communion is the same word as koinonia, is the same word as fellowship. So the word fellowship in 1 John chapter 1 is koinonia. The word communion in 2 Corinthians 13, 14 is koinonia. So they're interchangeable. A fellowship in common, to be of one mind, of one mouth, one heart. So what we're going to do here is endeavor to do this fellowship with God. So let me try this. You look in your Bibles, and we'll do this chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you now. Oh Lord, we would exalt you. We would exalt you, Lord Jesus. And we would come with our desire to maintain fellowship with you. So bless us, Lord, in our meditation tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. I also want to mention, too, the poem by our brother John Simpson. I read it this morning, "Nothing but love, nothing but love from the Savior I feel, born by the Spirit to comfort and heal, sent by the Father his love to reveal, there is nothing, no, nothing but love." Right, nothing on earth or in heaven above that is so sweet as our dear Father's love, sent down to bless by the heavenly dove. There is nothing, no, nothing but love. Nothing that with his great love can compare, giving us riches, his home we will share. Caught up to meet him in clouds of the air, there is nothing, no, nothing but love. Nothing, no, nothing but love. Nothing, no, nothing but love. And through our great Savior, we're his children of favor. For there's nothing, no, nothing but love. And that's also what we have here, you know, in this epistle. So let's look at this briefly. The basis or the foundation of our love or communion or fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is the incarnation. Now, the incarnation means that Jesus became humanity. We have the beautiful passage in Philippians 2, where it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though in the form of God thought it not equal to be equal with God, something to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation, and took on the form of a servant, and became in the likeness of man. And in the fashion of many, offered himself on the cross. And of course, then he will be exalted." But yes, yes, Jesus became humanity. We have in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Don't you love that? Full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. So here, it was absolutely necessary what the Apostle John was teaching here. That, yes, yes, the deity became humanity. We have in Jesus the God-man. Without the humanity of Christ, we have no salvation. Without the deity of Jesus Christ, we have no salvation. And so here he is saying that the incarnation is absolutely necessary in order to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. We read in this chapter 2, here the first, "That which was from the beginning." And of course, we're kind of into this. Pastor R.C., he brings this in all the time. "In the beginning, God." Right? Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, God. In the Gospel of Mark, we have the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the Gospel of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made." And then here, "That which was from the beginning." Not that there was a beginning. It means that this is eternity. This is eternity. This eternity means that there is no time. There is no beginning. But in the beginning of the gospel, in the beginning here, in the beginning here, that which was from the beginning, and so we have this concept of, in the beginning, the eternal status of the Father and the Son. Now notice here, this is kind of interesting. This is what we call kinesic language, hands-on language. And hands-on language, that which we have heard, that which we have seen, that which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of Life.
Amen.
Wow! For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. It says here, we have seen this life, and bear witness, look at that, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now we believe, of course, that this happened in the Transfiguration, for example. To a degree in his baptism, you know, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We remember that Peter, James, and John, the only three, you know, the Mount of Transfiguration. Wow. In Matthew, Mark, and so forth, that Jesus appeared to them. He was transformed. He was transformed. And they saw him. And so they remembered that. And Peter refers to it in his epistle. And they saw the Lord. And so what they're saying is, hey, we know that he is a human. We know that he was transformed. We know that no, that is not that Jesus was just a spirit. No, that deity, the Son of God, became flesh in order that he might save us from our sins. And so he said, we declare that unto you. So the purpose here too also, we'll notice, the purpose is fellowship and joy. Wow. Because he says here, that which we have seen, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Hey, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, having received him into our hearts, and by a miracle of God, we are born again. We are born from above by the Holy Spirit, and we become the family of God. We become part of the family of God. Now, I think probably tonight, I mean, all of us, know this, and we are believers in Jesus Christ. But once in a while, you hear about a preacher who was converted from his own sermon. Once in a while, you know, you hear about this. So it's always good to examine myself and say, am I a child of God? Have I been born again by the Spirit of God? Have I received this witness? And do I have this koinonia? Do I have this fellowship, this communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and brothers and sisters in Christ? Do I have this? And am I joyful? Am I joyful? Is there joy? I'm sure all of us, we have our way in our homes, in our work, in our walking in the mall. We have our way of maintaining fellowship. And there's so many distractions. But we sang tonight, our focus is on Jesus. And so this is what is going on here. So then he gives that introduction. And that introduction is kind of it's an invitation. It's an invitation to be in the family of God, right? And to have fellowship. And then he explains here the conditions of fellowship. How do we maintain this fellowship? In verse 5, This is the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, in John, in his gospel, and also in this epistle, is a contrasting light and darkness. So that's one of his things, of light and darkness. There's a kind of an interesting concept, and I just pass this on with you, which is, I don't know what it's really worth, but a lot of seminary professors, preachers, they don't believe, that they believe that you take the Gospel of John, and there's only believe. So that the word metanoia, which means repentance, is not in the Gospel of John. But I was at a conference one time, not too long ago here, where the statement is, because of his light and darkness and life and death, that's it, that there's an implication that people turn. But whether there's repentance and faith or belief, it is all a work of God. So all a work of the Lord. It's the Lord who is working in us. And so he said, though, God, I love that it says, God is light, God is love, God is peace, God is hope, God is patience. You know, but here, the emphasis is light. And what is light? Wow. What is light? What does it mean that God is light? Well, it can be holiness, right? It can be wisdom. It can be the right path. Whatever concepts of light. And we'll have Dr. R.C. preach one day here on light. That God is light. And what that is. But it says here that this is the message which we have received of him, declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So here we have some of the recognition, first of all, of who God is. How to maintain fellowship with God. To recognize that God is light. And then to recognize that one concept is that we walk in the light. Look at it again. I was thinking about that. And how often I've quoted that verse. I use that verse probably 10 times a day. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But I was thinking about it. I have been keeping that as a concept. But then I began yesterday, or the day before, thinking, hey, here we have another word, walking. If we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship. And how precious the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let me suggest, too, that you take this chapter and you make it personal. And you put in I. Make it personal. If I walk in the light, as he is in the light, I have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses me from all sin. Begin to make that personal. To get it from what I used to tell my students, from the head to the heart to the feet. Right? To put in practice in walking with God. So here is one concept, conditions for maintaining fellowship, walking in the light. The other is recognizing sin. Recognizing sin. Verses 8 and 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Why? Because God says we're sinners. He says that we have sinned against him. And we are sinners who need a Savior. And I don't know how you, but I've come across that the hardest thing for people that we are trying to evangelize, that we are trying to bring the gospel to, is that they don't really recognize that they're sinners. They think they're pretty good. They think they're pretty good. They have this concept of the balance, good works and bad works. But if you aren't a sinner, you don't need a Savior. But the problem is you are a sinner. I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. So to maintain this fellowship, we want to walk in the light, recognizing sin. And then our famous, wonderful verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful, and we just need this. What happens in this scenario is that as we get older in the Lord and walk with the Lord, the Holy Spirit gets through to our conscience. You see, the conscience is not a good guide. Our conscience is seared. Our conscience justifies. There's three words in cultural anthropology that I used to like to use. One is compartmentalization. We make excuses and we compartmentalize our life. And that's why they say, for an example, that a mafia guy can be a loving father, a loving grandfather, loving to his family, and then on Monday or whatever, send a hitman to kill somebody. He compartmentalizes life. And a lot of times we as Christians have that tendency. But the wonderful thing, and it's not a scary thing, is that God is present with us all the time. Amen. That God is present. And so we come and we confess our sin. Sin becomes an attitude. Sin becomes a thought. I can go from frustration to impatience to anger, just like somebody cuts you off on the freeway. Somebody does this, and if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.